welcome to the Nittany Blues Podcast. By Penn State fans, for Penn State fans. Here are your hosts, Andrew and Vince.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Nittany Blues Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew, joined as always by my co-host and wingman, Vince, and we have another football game this weekend. For the second time this season, the world did not end after a Penn State loss. We are, in fact, going to see the Nittany Lions take the field again this upcoming Saturday against Rutgers. It is the final home game of the season. It is senior day. Plenty of intrigue around this one, despite a lopsided record against this particular opponent. Penn State is going to be working with a new look with the offensive coaching staff. Plenty of questions directed James Franklin's way during his weekly press conference about that coaching shift. So there's still a couple of storylines here that we got to unpack, we got to talk about, and of course, give our predictions for the game. But Vince, how are you feeling, man? We're a couple days removed now from our second loss of the season. So how you been?
I've been all right, you know, still a little down. It does kind of feel like with the talent that we did have on this roster, at least on paper, it does feel like a little bit of a wasted season. However, if you are looking in the grand scheme, Penn State is number 12 in the college football playoff rankings, and they have an opportunity to move up a few spots. So, you know, Louisville, they could lose to Florida State.
To Florida State.
Yeah. So whether I'm not sure when they play them, probably the ACC championship, I would imagine. I think they're in different divisions in the ACC. So there's an opportunity there. There's also, you know, a couple other teams that might get upset and maybe have a mishap. So definitely not all doom and gloom. New Year's Six Bowl is definitely still a very real possibility. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's the world is not ending as long as we take care of business and we beat Rutgers and a road trip in Detroit, not East Lansing, against Michigan State. So got to be very careful. Got to make sure one loss does not turn into two. If they play like they did after Michigan, like they did against Indiana after they played Ohio State, Rutgers is coming out here with a W. They play really good defense. This is a squad that runs the ball very well and very efficiently against both teams. They have a dual threat quarterback who likes to run a lot, not much of a passing game, but when you have a team that can run the ball very well and really stout defense and your offense has been struggling, you can find yourself in for a dogfight, especially if they give up a couple explosive plays like they did versus Indiana. And if the defense doesn't have their best day and the offense continues with their struggles.
Yeah, I think that's well said. This is a game that Penn State definitely shouldn't try to sleepwalk through for, you know, numerous reasons. One of which, of course, being that, you know, they don't want to fall into that post game hangover from the Michigan game. And also at the same time, like, this is your last go round in Beaver Stadium this year. Like, it's the last one. Got to go out there and get a win for your seniors. I mean, there's some on this team that definitely deserve to go out with W. So I think the team is going to be, you know, trying from that respect. And also, I mean, one thing that we don't really know what's about to happen is like how this team is going to respond offensively given the dismissal of Mike Yurcich. We have Jaywan Sider and Ty Howell taking over offensive play calling responsibilities. So, you know, what's kind of funny is like we've been calling all season for more involvement from the running backs and the tight ends. And literally the two guys that are going to be taking over for the offense oversee the running backs and the tight ends. So in a weird, morbid way, we might get what we wanted.
Yeah, I hope so. I would love to see a lot more of the wing T, a lot of two running back sets. Love to see it. It's my favorite formation. I think that's what Penn State does best. Obviously, you're not going to have that, you know, in between the 220s, but you need a little speed on the outside. But one of my favorite formations, and I think they'll get utilized a lot. And hopefully Drew's on the same page as these guys and we're not seeing footballs thrown all over the place. And I think the biggest thing that really needs to be fixed is communication. People need to know their job. They need to know their assignment and what they're doing. That way that the timing is not thrown off on the offense. Cause when you're watching, everything looks so discombobulated. There's no rhythm. There's no flow to the offense, and the talent's there. They just got to get on track and in rhythm.
Yeah, for sure. I think one thing I'm really hoping to see are just a couple of easy completions to move the sticks early on in the game. Like, that has been so non-existent for the Penn State offense this entire season. Everything has been a struggle. There hasn't been any, you know, at least notable, like, quick routes that have opened up, like, even like with the tight ends sitting underneath or anything like that. It's everything has been a struggle. Nothing has come easy. And one thing that I didn't mention during our last podcast after the Michigan game, which I was kind of mad at myself for not mentioning, was, you know, we talk all the time about this idea of taking what the defense is giving you. You know, so if they're going to blitz, you got to have that blitz beater ready to go. If they're going to be loading the box, you've got to be able to get the ball to the outside to your playmakers and stuff like that. Like, there's these like basic tenets of football and just those very basic things Penn State was just not taking advantage of. You know, they were blitzing, all these teams were blitzing Penn State all day long because they knew, or they didn't fear, Penn State's ability to find that inevitable wide open man to really hurt them downfield. So I'm hoping that that is something that is going to be instilled into the offense a little bit more. I mean, you can't like feel super great about your offensive coordinator being dismissed and then all of a sudden, you know, seeing an offensive turnaround. I can see the possibility of the team kind of galvanizing around that shift, you know, kind of playing for each other, for the team and stuff like that. So we'll see like what kind of impact this has. I mean, I would say we're pretty aligned though, in that this is mostly just probably going to be a defensive struggle, you know, because Rutgers got shut out by Iowa last week, 22-0. We shut out Iowa when they came for the whiteout this year. So, you know, not to use the transitive property or anything like that, but you know, this is a defense that's still really, really good. And as long as they're not, you know, kind of sleepwalking, I believe that they should be able to handle this Rutgers offense pretty easily, you know, because like when they're at their best, they can absolutely shut down the run. So I think it's all just going to be on the offense.
Yeah, I think so too. You got to score points to win the game, unless the defense is getting strip sack fumbles or safeties. That's what you got to do in the sport of football. So I think offensively for Rutgers, defensively, we do need to be careful not to be a little too over aggressive. We do need to maintain our gaps, especially with Wimsatt being a dual threat quarterback. He can run very well. But as long as we have Mananga and Wimsatt in the backfield there, if we contain them, try to force them into third and longs, make them throw the ball, that's when they've been more prone to turnovers and you know, just playing a style of football that they don't want to play. And defensively, man, this is a tough squad. They're ranked number 20 in the country. Really impressive defense. Greg Schiano's done a really good job of really bringing Rutgers from worst team in the Big Ten when he got there, pretty much all the way to middle of the pack. If Rutgers was in the Big Ten West, you could argue they'd be the second best team behind Iowa. You can make that, and that would be a valid argument. So he's done a really nice job there, and Rutgers is more of a formidable opponent. This is a geographic rivalry game. You know, started with Rutgers saying that team from Pennsylvania, and then again, we've taken care of business ever since, and we need to make sure we show up, or else that winning streak is going to end very quickly.
Yeah. So what would you say are some of your like major keys to the game? I think, you know, we're always going to talk about ball security against a team like this, a big underdog coming into Beaver Stadium. But what are some other things that you're going to be looking for?
Some things I'm looking for, obviously turnovers. That's always a given, especially when you have a team like Rutgers who really struggles offensively, kind of like we do. You don't want to give them any short fields and let them, you know, get some field goals early on, and then you're kind of forced to play catch up. Try to force them out of their game, get them in third and long situations. Offensively for Penn State, I would really love to see them have some physicality and success running the football. One, try to wear the Rutgers defense down. And then number two, trying to really force Rutgers to get an extra guy in the box. And when you have that extra guy in the box, that's going to open up things for the passing game, because you can only cover and defend so many things defensively. So we really need to impose our will in the running game to get, you know, ahead of schedule, get third and shorts, so that way there's more of a variety of play calls that you can choose in those situations. So that's what I'm looking for. I hope the offensive line has a big day, you know, helping to run the football. That way it sets up the passing game, especially since we've really struggled in the passing game. And then this is a game last year where defense really had a party. They had 16 tackles for loss and sacks. And that's another thing I would love to see, if they can get some of those marks up. That's going to force Rutgers into those third and long situations like we talked about earlier.
Yeah. And I would also throw in there, like on offense, I want to see long sustained drives, because I want to see Rutgers feel the need to score quickly. You know, we want them to feel the stress of like eating up chunks of yardage at a time, because I think that plays very well into Penn State's hands. So I think we're pretty much aligned on all those different fronts. So you mentioned Wimsett. Any other big names you want to throw out there from the Rutgers sideline that Penn State fans should keep an eye on?
I think they need to keep an eye on Langan, the tight end. Coach Franklin mentioned him in the press conference, so I respect
like a
him.
Benchmark.
Yeah.
Like James Franklin mentions him, and it's like, all right, yep, he's a dude.
He hasn't really done too much the past few weeks. He's only had like one or two receptions, so not really too much going on, but they've been playing, you know, Iowa and Ohio State the past couple weeks. So, you know, you're going to see him. And yeah, this Rutgers offense kind of looks like ours. Just passes are not going where they should be. They run the ball as well as we do statistically. they average about the same amount of yards per game. So yeah,
it's going to be such an indictment.
Right. So yeah, it's going to be a tough battle, and I think it's going to be an old school physical game, and field position is going to be key. I'm looking for Riley Thompson to do a really good job on punts and putting Penn State in that defense in a good situation. And I think you're going to see Penn State trying to, you know, settle for field goals and take the points when they're there. I don't think you're going to see them being super aggressive and going for it in like a fourth and two. I don't think they're going to be playing that way. So that's kind of how I see the game playing out.
Cool. So are you seeing like a 10-7 halftime score?
Maybe, but we'll have to find out at the end of the episode.
Little spoiler. Cool. You want to do some over-unders?
Yeah, sure. So for the game, they have the spread at 20.5. Andrew, do you think Penn State is able to cover the spread in this football game?
Nope, not this time. That's a pretty sizable spread. This offense needs to find itself, and it's up against a unique challenge, or, you know, not super unique, but a difficult challenge. So no, they're not going to cover it.
Yeah. Surprisingly, the spread started at 19.5 and moved up to 20.5. So I'm a little surprised by that.
Well, I think it's more that shows you just how much Vegas thinks of Mike Yurcich.
Right. And for me, I think Rutgers, because of the name and the program, everyone thinks they're going to be terrible.
Mm.
That's not the case. If you've been watching Penn State football, you know that this is not going to be a super, you know, blowout game.
Delaware. Yeah.
This is not Delaware. This is not UMass. It's not like the Minutemen and we're scoring every minute. Hey. 1 point for every minute. But yeah, it's going to be a tough. So the game over under is at 41 right now. So do you think Penn State is going to score over or under 31 points?
No, I got the under here. like I said, good defense for Rutgers. Offense needs to figure their stuff out. So, nope, taking the under.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you there. I'm going to take the under as well. They just have not been able to be consistent. Really, since the Ohio State game, it's just been, everything's been a struggle. Maryland was kind of the
one. A huge outlier. Yeah.
A huge outlier. Yeah. They looked amazing, and it just makes you scratch your head and wonder why aren't we doing play calls and having preparation like this every week? The players really got to be more consistent. So I have the under as well. I don't see this offense getting back into the 30s. All right, Rutgers, over or under 10 and a half?
I have over. Yeah, I have over here. I think this offense is going to have a tough time against the Penn State defense as long as the defense and all of its components show up. You know, so if we see a motivated team like the one that we saw against Maryland, like this could be like party at the quarterback type of game.
All right. Yeah, I'm in agreement with you too. I'm going to take the over. I don't think they're going to be held to under 10 points. I've been wrong many a time. If you look at Rutgers, kind of a similar team to Iowa. And offensively, we put up 31 against Iowa. So I'm not sure how we can put up 31 points against a really stout defense like that. Like, if you look at the rankings in the college football playoff, they were number 16 in the country, Iowa. And they don't have an offense. Yep. Their offense is worse than ours. And they're with their backup quarterback, and they're number 16 in the country. And we put on 31 points on that defense. Like, I do not understand why we cannot put up similar performances against Michigan and Ohio State. Like, it's just, it's mind-boggling. And it just,
and I think, like, honestly, in a weird way, the weather of that game kind of forced us into the most effective form of Penn State football, which was a ton of running between the 20s. And then once you got inside the red zone, Drew was money. He was finding the open man, albeit it usually was like a tight end and stuff like that. But he was throwing lasers inside the red zone. And so that's why he threw for 4 touchdowns in that one. And he looked amazing again. And we just like sucked the life out of that team. So it's like that's the formula, I think, you know, just like keeping on schedule, getting good down or like getting good yardage on first and second down, you know, with like some of your like yards after catch or, you know, trying to open some things up with the running game, stuff like that. Because as long as you can like keep those chains moving and get right into that sweet spot of where Drew likes to throw the football, then you're good. You know, so in a weird way, it's like that game was wet, you know, it was like misty all game and stuff like that. So there wasn't a ton of throwing the ball around. But I think that weirdly might have worked Penn State's favor.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you there. And I think we need to do a better job of scheming guys open and getting the ball to our playmakers in space. Like, how often have you seen Nick Singleton get the ball in space this year? Like, I almost forget he's on the team sometimes. They just don't get him the ball in space or he's going to be most effective. And kind of the same thing with Keandre Lambert-Smith. He's had like the big catch against West Virginia and the big catch against Indiana, and haven't seen, like, those have been like the kind of 2 highlight plays for him this year. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, seeing him get some more of those passes that we know he's capable of getting. So,
yeah, it'll be such a breath of fresh air because, I mean, like, I feel bad for the kid. Like, I really hope that he's kind of kept the blinders on when it comes to like social media, because it has not been kind to him this past week.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, if you're a college athlete, especially at this level, like, just a lion doesn't concern themselves with an opinion of a sheep. Like, just zone it out. Listen to your coaches. The coaches are going to, you know, give you constructive criticism to make you better, and take that and roll with it and get better. All right. Which team do you think is going to get more rushing yards this week? So Penn State's averaged 172. Rutgers has averaged about 170 Rush yards
Penn State, game. Baby. We got Jaywon Sider at the helm now. Running back you, baby. Let's get those backs churning. Let's get those hard yards. Everybody all in the same boat here. I am back on my optimistic fan BS after the doom and gloom of the Michigan game. So, you know, I think it'll be a bumpy ride, but that ride will end with Penn State getting more rushing yards.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you there. Not because I think the offense is going to have an outstanding performance, more because of our defense has just been really right. good at stopping the run for the most part outside of Michigan and Ohio State. They've done a really nice job this year. If you look at them defensively, they're only giving up the second most yards per game all year. Rutgers is right up there at number 13 in the country, 13th most yards per game allowed. So really, really solid squad. All right, moving on to the passing game. So over under 140 pass yards for the Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
What is Wimsett averaging right now? Do you know?
Well, the team overall is averaging 141 yards per game.
Okay, then I'll take the under.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the under as well. I just don't foresee Rutgers getting a ton of offense in this game. I do think Penn State's strategy is going to be really going all out to stop the run and, you know, containing Wimsett in the pocket just so he's not scrambling. I think they're really going to try to make Rutgers beat us over the top. That's the strategy I think they're going to implement defensively. I think they're going to be pretty aggressive. All right. Turnover battle. So this one's pretty interesting. So Rutgers is 28th in the country in the turnover battle. They're at +5. You have Penn State, who's number one in the country in turnover differential. They're at +15. Do you think Penn State can win the turnover battle by more than one turnover?
Yes. I'll say +2 to Penn State in this one.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you there. I think this is going to be a tough game for Rutgers. I do think first half, you're really not going to see any turnovers, but I do think in the second half when Rutgers is maybe behind or they're trying to make a drive to tie the game, I think you might see them being more aggressive through the air. And I think that's when, you know, our defensive backfield is going to be able to create some of those turnovers and interceptions, just like they've been doing all year. Especially if our pass rush is getting there and creating the pressure and forcing the quarterback into questionable decisions.
Right.
All right. So moving on to fact or fiction. All right. Fact or fiction. Is Penn State going to be affected by the Drake curse? Fact or sorry, they will be affected by the Drake curse. Fact or fiction. He's playing in the BJC in March.
Okay. I'll say fiction. That's too far away to be affected. I'd be more afraid of the basketball team having like a February collapse and the football team losing to Rutgers because of Drake.
Okay. I'll say fact to an extent. I think this is going to be a really close game, but I do think there's a way we can still come out with a win. So to me, I think a close game against Rutgers is kind of like being affected by the Drake curse.
Being cursed, yeah.
All right. Fact or fiction. Dropkick Murphys, which is an Irish band, will give Penn State enough good luck to overcome the Drake curse.
I'll say fact. I mean, we play Dropkick Murphy so much in Beaver Stadium that that's got to be good juju, right? Like the fact that they're coming to Penn State. And like every time we go out there on defense, you just hear this, like the music come on.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's jumping around. Yeah.
So the vibes are good with that. So yeah, give me fact.
I'm going to say fact. Yeah. It's like we got that luck of the Irish with the Drake curse. And I feel like they kind of balance out. So
yeah.
All right. Fact or fiction, Penn State will go back to giving up 0 points in the third quarter.
Fact. Yeah. Let this All defense right. flex on them.
Yes, I'm looking for that, especially on senior night, so I'm going to go fact. All right, fact or fiction, Drew will have 0 turnovers.
Fact. Yeah, that fumble was in my opinion, a result of running the QB draw with a traditional pocket passing quarterback too often. I don't think that's going to happen in this one. I don't think he's going to throw a pick. So, yeah, give me fact.
I'm going to say fact as well. He's done a good job taking care of the football all year. Rutgers is a good turnover team. They have a good turnover ratio. But, you know, Drew's also really good at taking care of the football. And, you know, sometimes you just get hit the right way on a run, and that's what happens. Now, I don't think that was the worst play call of the day. It looked like he was going to get 3 or 4 yards, at least where I was sitting in the stands. But, you know, fumble.
It was going to be a successful play. But when when that is like that's the well that you keep going back to, like with how this team is constructed, that to me just does not compute.
Yeah, but I definitely don't mind Drew running the ball. I'm perfectly fine with that. I think he's mobile enough. I think he's a tough guy to bring down. It's just he's a long strider. He's a long strider, so it doesn't look like he's running as fast as he is.
Yeah, and I'm cool with it too, but I want it in a more logical frequency, because that's the kind of thing that you bust out on like a 3rd and 4 after like running the ball, or, you know, trying to pass the ball around and stuff like that. Like when nobody's expecting the QB draw with a quarterback like Drew Aller, that's when you run the QB draw, you know? So potato, potato.
All right. Factor fiction. Rutgers is the most annoying rival or Big Ten opponent.
Fiction. Hard fiction. Give me Maryland for that all day long. Like outside of like Ohio State and Michigan, it's easily Maryland.
Yeah, for me, I would say Ohio State fans are the worst, followed by Rutgers probably at number 2. And then I think Maryland would be number 3 for me for like worst fan bases. And it's kind of funny because it's all the ones that are like right around us.
Like, well, I mean, that's how it goes, right?
Yeah, that's how it goes. Like the other fan bases haven't been, you know, obnoxious or disrespectful or rude when I've seen them at sporting events here. So that's the power rankings I got for worst fan bases.
Power rankings. Yeah.
All right. So that ends our fact and fiction segment. Andrew, communion prediction. What do you got for us?
Yeah, so we're going back to our well of the wing tee. We both talked about it. We want a little bit more of it. It's creative. It's innovative. It features some of the best playmakers that Penn State has on offense. My community prediction is that Penn State will score a touchdown using the T formation, but doing the lion lunge. So they're going to push Drew Aller into the end zone for a touchdown, much like Jalen Hurts of Philadelphia Eagles.
I like it. So I had a very similar prediction on our previous pod. I said that we were going to get a touchdown from the wing T formation. I did not specify whether it would be a run or a pass. So I definitely gave myself a lot of wiggle room there.
Hey, but that's okay. I'm
going to go with Nick Singleton has a kickoff return for a touchdown. That'll be my communion prediction. That'll be my second one.
So it'll be like a repeat of last year, because I'm pretty sure he did that last year too.
Yep, yeah, he did that last year too, and that'd be crazy if that was their only touchdown of the day.
Yeah, but it'd be very fitting in a way too.
Very fitting. All right, so final score, what do you got for us, Andrew?
Yeah, so like I said, I don't think that Penn State is going to score like over 30, you know, much like they were in the zone of scoring at least 30 points like in every game for that long stretch of time. I think that it might be the waters might be a little choppy in the early goings, because we've got two new interim offensive coordinators. But, you know, in a weird way, like this might actually galvanize the team a little bit, because we have the coordinators and the position coaches for two of the better pieces of the offense as a whole for Penn State. But on the other side of the ball, I think Penn State is still amazing defensively. As long as they show up and they execute and they don't sleepwalk through this game, I think that they're going to be able to keep Rutgers at arm's length through most of this game, but especially in the second half. So I've got Penn State winning this one 28-13.
Yeah, that's good. I see the game playing out very similarly. However, I'm just nervous after these big games versus Ohio State and Michigan. Always that hangover with this program. You see them losing to Michigan State all the time. I think Rutgers is a team where we either blow them out like 28-0, or we're kind of in a dogfight. And I think we're going to be really in for a dogfight in this one. I think it's going to be a defensive slugfest. Teams kind of going back and forth. I think special teams are going to play a critical role in terms of field position. So for my final score, despite the Drake curse and him being announced to come to the Bryce Jordan Center in March, I think that Penn State will pull out the victory 16-13.
Sweet. Yep. Nice hard-nosed Big Ten football game.
Yep. Just everything you'd expect from a Big Ten football. So right. Andrew, outside of our game, any exciting football games you're looking forward to watching this weekend?
Yeah, there's a couple interesting ones. You know, funny enough, the one that might actually be the best game is Arizona and Utah. I mean, Arizona's really been on the up and up. Utah is a hard-nosed team. Love to play, just amazing defense, suffocating defense. So I think that'll be a good one. We've got Louisville and Miami. Miami's no longer ranked. I mean, they're 6-4, so they wouldn't be. But that's, still a solid collection of talent. Yeah, and Louisville's number 10. I mean, they're obviously doing great things with Brohm as head coach in his first year. So I think that has a bit of intrigue to it. We've got number 1 Georgia and Tennessee. I think Georgia's just going to curb stomp Tennessee. We've got Clemson and North Carolina. That's an interesting one because Clemson had a bit of a rebound. They're not ranked, but they played some good football last weekend. North Carolina's ranked 20. But at Clemson, and Clemson is favored by 6.5, which is kind of surprising. Like for an unranked team that's hosting the number 20 team in the college football playoff rankings, that's a pretty sizable spread.
It is. Yeah, it's up to 7 too.
Yeah. So we got that one. Kansas and Kansas State. That's going to be a good one here. I mean, both teams are ranked. Kansas State is, after that Texas loss, seems like they've kind of righted the ship a little bit. So that'll be a good one. Oregon State and Washington. This has college football playoff, seeding busting potential, to put it lightly, because we've got 11 versus 5. Washington is the first team out for those four teams for the initial field or for the field for the college football playoff. Oregon State is playing amazing football right now. They put up a ton of points many times throughout this season. Washington, not very strong on defense. So I think DJ Uiagalelei, and I hope I pronounce his last name correctly, but he's playing really good. Oregon State is playing very good. Oregon State is actually favored by 2.5 in this one. And, when you've got a Heisman Trophy hopeful coming into your stadium and you're favored like that, that really does mean something. So That should be a good one. So, I mean, honestly, I guess I said up top, Arizona and Utah, but I think most eyes are going to be on Oregon State and Washington.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're a Penn State fan, you're rooting for Washington to try to bump Oregon State down to try to move us up, because, Louisville and Oregon State, those are the two teams above us. So really hoping we can move up into that top 10 spot to give us a better opportunity at a New Year's Six Bowl. Yeah, you're right. Oregon State, they've been playing really great football this year. You've seen DJ, you get
Uiagalelei.
Uiagalelei plays really good football. And I watched part of their game in their orange out against Utah, and they just lit Utah up.
It
was really impressive. They've been playing good football all year, so I think that's going to be exciting. You definitely hit the nail on the head with all the best matchups. So I'll just go through a quick skim of the Big Ten. Michigan's going to be heading down to College Park, Maryland, to take on them. Michigan State and Indiana, there's going to be a battle of the 3-7 teams. So they're going to be going head-to-head. You got Purdue at Northwestern, Illinois at number 16, Iowa. just how asinine is it that Iowa is somehow ranked 16th in the country?
I mean, it's honestly a scary prospect that, like, if they could figure out how to play any form of offense, like, they might actually win the Big Ten.
Right? Like, if their offense was, like, even as good as our offense and they had their defense, like, they'd probably be pretty good.
Yeah.
That's wild. Then you got Minnesota at number two, Ohio State, which actually, so Georgia overtook them in the college football playoff bowl. So,
yep.
I think after that blowout against Ole Miss, Georgia finally got a quality caliber opponent, and, you know, they passed that test with flying colors. And then to finish it off, you got Nebraska at Wisconsin. So, a lot of action in the Big Ten going on this weekend.
Yep.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about football before we get into other Penn State athletics?
Nope. Yeah, let's move on. We got some basketball updates that I'm sure you've been excited to share. I mean, big blowout last night against St. Francis. So, you know, team's 3-0. Hit us with the news.
Yeah, 3-0. Team looked pretty good. Defense is really good in the first half. And I really like all the different presses they're throwing at teams. So they're throwing in a lot of double teams and trying to create a lot of turnovers, which I think is really exciting. Connie Clary had a nice night. It was nice to also see Puff Johnson back. He was a transfer from North Carolina. He's been dealing with some injuries. It was nice to see him back and, you know, healthy again. So he had a nice game. Ace made some pretty difficult shots, high degree of difficulty, so that was nice. And then Kudus Wahab has kind of been a nice surprise, a 6'11 transfer out of Georgetown. He's been really holding up that post spot well. An area of concern I do have, though, going into to Big Ten play is maybe not so much the physicality or toughness, but the size. You know, you just had some really strong dudes last year when you had, like, Jalen Pickett, Funk, Miles Dredd, Seth Lundy. All those guys are really strong. I do feel like this team's a little more lanky, so I think that might be a challenge once they get to Big Ten play. So, you know, we'll see where things goes. Size isn't always everything. Oftentimes wingspan is more important. So, you know, hopefully Penn State's able to compete with those higher level teams, but really nice to, you know, see Penn State start off 3-0 and take care of business and win all the games they're supposed to be winning.
Yeah. Being 3-0 is always a good thing. And one thing I've also seen is apparently Mike Rhodes is actually a really, really cool dude. So always like to see that too.
Yeah, I definitely got good vibes from him when he was at, like, WingFest and just watching his press conferences. That's great. Another team that's 3-0 is the women's team. So the women hosted Kansas on Monday night. They pulled out a close W, and Kansas was actually the women's NIT champion. So, you know, not too bad of a program over here. And Penn State, the women's basketball program, you know, has struggled the past handful of years. I can't remember the last time they were good. It's certainly been a while. So really nice to see them have a strong start to the season behind McKenna Marissa. So they've been doing awesome. Looking forward to more things to come from their season.
Sweet. Yeah, bring back the glory days of, like, Nikki Green and Coach Coquies Washington, man. Like, those teams were hard-nosed. Like, they played tough. I actually really enjoyed watching them.
Yeah. And, you know, Penn State basketball also had a nice win over Lehigh this past weekend. And speaking of Lehigh, I can't believe I missed out on this. The women's cross-country team got second at Mid-Atlantic Regionals, and they're heading to Natty's next week. So they qualified for the national championships. So really big accomplishment, and that actually brought their rankings up to number 30 in the country, which for cross-country, that means you're ranked. They rank 30 teams. So
okay.
Definitely nice. They're going to be competing in Charlottesville this upcoming weekend. So it'll be nice to see how the women's team does down there and see if they have any potential for All-Americans. That would certainly be a big win for Coach Gondak and the women's cross-country program. So looking forward to that. Also this weekend, you got a couple volleyball games if you're in town. You got Michigan State, I believe, on Friday night at 7, and then we play Northwestern on 7 after the Rutgers game. So a lot of fun events going on. You also got the women's soccer team. They beat Quinnipiac 7-0 to advance to play UC Santa Barbara. That'll be in Jeffrey Field at 6 o'clock. So for the second round of the Big Ten tournament. So big things coming for the Nittany Lions this weekend. Lots of exciting sports to watch as usual. Tuesday, there's also a big wrestling match at home, a big invitational. So a lot of good, if you're into wrestling, that's a big matchup coming for them next Tuesday.
Cool.
All right. So I think that wraps up our round table. One last thing. I keep forgetting to bring up Jason West, but Jason West has moved up to number 3 in the PTO rankings for a triathlon. So he's ranked number 3 in the world. So he's been having a spectacular triathlon season. So definitely wanted to make sure I got my little triathlon shout out in there, little plug. Yeah. I haven't done it in a while. So it's been a while. So happy to get it back in and have a good excuse to talk about triathlon before we put a bow on this one.
Yeah, sweet. I mean, anytime you're number 3 in the world in something that, yeah, deserves to be bragged about.
Yep. So great season for him. Look, I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does next year because his run is just nasty. Like, he's just beating, like, even the second best runner in the field, he's just beating by minutes. Like, it's really incredible.
Wow.
But we want to thank you guys for listening to the show today. Make sure you check out our shop at nittanyblues.com shop. With lots of cool t-shirt designs there. You got the black and pink. You got the Lawn Boys. You got our favorite formation, the Wing T. Basketball season starting. You got the Jalen Pickett booty ball t-shirt. So whatever you can imagine, whatever cool design for Penn State Athletics, check it out at nittanyblues.com/shop. Also, follow us on social media. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Talk to your friends. Spread the word. Get them listening. Leave us reviews. Anything you can do helps us out. We would also love to hear your questions. That way we can answer them in the pod. So make sure you're asking questions as well. We want everyone in our community to be involved. So thank you guys for listening as always. And we want to remind you that we are
the Nittany Blues Podcast. We'll see you next time.